Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Story of More: How We Got to Climate Change and Where to Go From Here is a nonfiction climate book by Hope Yaron, a scientist known for writing about Earth systems in clear, accessible language. Rather than treating climate change as an abstract environmental warning, the book traces how modern patterns of consumption, population growth, and technological development have increased demand for food, energy, travel, and manufactured goods. Yaron links those everyday systems to greenhouse gas emissions, biodiversity loss, and rising pressure on natural resources. The result is a concise explanation of how the present climate crisis emerged from ordinary human behavior, especially in wealthy industrial societies. The book is both explanatory and diagnostic. It shows how we arrived at this point, while also arguing that meaningful change requires reducing consumption rather than relying only on technological fixes. Its purpose is to make climate science legible to general readers and to frame the problem in practical, human terms. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how ordinary consumption became a climate problem. A central argument of the book is that climate change is not caused only by a few dramatic industrial activities, but by the cumulative scale of everyday human demand. Yaron connects the modern appetite for more food, more electricity, more transportation, and more goods to the release of greenhouse gases and the depletion of natural systems. This framing is important because it shifts attention away from isolated acts of pollution and toward the structures that make high consumption normal. The book suggests that the climate crisis is embedded in habits that are often treated as signs of progress or comfort. By showing that prosperity in one part of the world can depend on heavy resource use and emissions, Yaron makes the issue both personal and systemic. The reader is pushed to see that climate change is not separate from daily life. It is built into the material patterns of that life. That makes the book less about distant catastrophe and more about the hidden costs of ordinary convenience. Secondly, why food systems and agriculture matter as much as energy. The book gives substantial attention to food production because agriculture is one of the major ways humans reshape the planet. Yaron examines how large-scale farming, livestock production, fertilizer use, and globalized food chains increase environmental strain. Food is presented not just as a matter of nutrition, but as a major driver of land use, energy use, and emissions. This matters because many climate discussions focus narrowly on electricity or transport, while the book shows that what people eat and how food is produced are equally significant. Yaron also highlights the mismatch between abundance and necessity. Modern food systems often produce more than enough calories, yet they do so through methods that intensify ecological damage. The analysis is practical rather than moralistic. It does not argue that eating is the problem, but that the industrial scale of food production has become part of the climate problem. By including agriculture in the same conversation as energy and manufacturing, the book broadens the reader's understanding of where emissions actually come from. Thirdly, the limits of renewable energy as a complete solution. Yaron is notably cautious about technological optimism, especially the idea that renewable energy alone can solve the climate crisis without broader behavioral change. She recognizes the value of solar, wind, and other lower carbon sources, but she also emphasizes that current technology and current demand levels make a complete transition difficult in the short term. This creates one of the book's most distinctive arguments: replacing energy sources matters, but replacing them at the same scale of consumption may not be enough. The book therefore resists a simplistic clean energy narrative. It treats energy systems as practical infrastructures that must meet real-world demand, not as symbolic solutions that erase the need for restraint. Yaron also allows room for nuclear power in the near term, reflecting a willingness to consider imperfect tools rather than idealized ones. The deeper point is that emissions reduction requires both supply-side changes and demand-side reduction. That balance distinguishes the book from more celebratory climate writing that assumes technology will solve the problem without major changes in behavior or policy. Fourthly, a climate history organized around life, food, energy, and Earth. The book is structured into short thematic chapters grouped into four sections: life, food, energy, and Earth. This organization gives the argument a clear progression from human population and social systems to the physical consequences for the planet. Rather than presenting climate change as one monolithic topic, Yaron breaks it into connected domains that are easier for general readers to follow. The format also shows how the issue is multi-causal. Population growth affects consumption, food systems affect land and emissions, energy use drives industrial expansion, and the resulting warming alters ice, oceans, and ecosystems. The chapter structure supports the book's explanatory purpose by letting the reader see each component separately before combining them into a wider picture. Because the chapters are short and focused, the book works as a primer rather than an academic treatise. That design choice is part of its value. It makes a complex subject manageable without oversimplifying it. The structure mirrors the book's logic, showing that climate change is the result of linked systems rather than a single isolated cause. Lastly, practical restraint, not panic. As the book's solution framework, the book closes by emphasizing practical changes in spending, eating, traveling, and investing, which makes its solutions concrete but also intentionally modest. Yarn does not present a single technological breakthrough or a dramatic policy proposal as a total answer. Instead, she argues that meaningful progress depends on using less and sharing more, especially in societies that consume a disproportionate share of resources. This solution framework is significant because it is grounded in limits. It assumes the planet has finite capacity and that climate action must reflect that reality. The emphasis on personal habits is not meant to replace policy, but to show readers where their own choices connect to larger systems. At the same time, the book avoids despair. Its tone is firm, but not alarmist, and it aims to replace avoidance with informed responsibility. That balance gives the book a distinct identity within climate nonfiction. It is urgent without being sensational, and practical without pretending that individual action alone will be sufficient. The reader is left with a clear moral and material challenge rather than a vague sense of guilt. In conclusion, The Story of More will be especially useful for general readers who want a clear, science-informed introduction to climate change without technical jargon or apocalyptic rhetoric. It also suits students, book clubs, and readers who want to understand how everyday consumption connects to environmental damage. The book's main strength is its framing. It does not isolate climate change as a distant scientific abstraction, but explains how population growth, food systems, energy use, and consumer habits collectively drive the crisis. That makes it intellectually useful even for readers already familiar with climate basics, because it organizes familiar facts into a coherent social and material argument. Compared with many climate books, it stands out for its brevity, clarity, and balanced tone. Yarn is skeptical of easy technological optimism, yet she avoids fatalism and keeps the focus on realistic action. Readers looking for a concise primer that connects science, behavior, and policy will find it especially rewarding. Its distinctive contribution is not a novel theory of climate change, but a lucid explanation of why modern life itself must be reconsidered if warming is to be slowed. If you would like to support Hope Yarn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.